Okay. Welcome, everybody. This is the May 17th, 2012 Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting, and if Mr. John Diodati could call the roll, we'll see who's here.
Sure. Member Lucy.
Yes.
Member Talley.
Here.
Alternate member from Pismo Beach.
Here.
An alternate member from Arroyo Grande.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Molnar. And Vice Chair Gehring.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay. We have a quorum.
Okay, great. All right, I think we'll take public comment. This is the time for anyone who's got an issue they'd like to raise before the committee to come up to the microphone, state your issue, and tell us what's on your mind. I'm not seeing anybody stepping forward. All right, seeing none, we'll move on, unless anybody on the committee's got something they want to raise at this point.
No.
Not seeing any. All right, how about the minutes of March 15th, 2012? Questions, comments, changes, motion to approve?
Just a note, I was not here, so I would abstain unless you need my vote to pass it.
Oh, okay. I was going to move we accept the minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, does anybody have any comments on the minutes?
I, too, will abstain.
All right, so all
I wasn't here either, but I'm going to vote because otherwise we're going to have a quorum.
Well, we can put them off till next time if we're not comfortable.
I'm fine.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? And there are two abstentions, if I counted correctly.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Operations report. Who's going to do that, Mr. Diodati?
We're going to have a member from the water
Mr.
plant come up.
Craig Kessler.
Yep. Yes, sir. Good evening, all. Plant operations, plant's running well. No real issues to report. All processes are performing well, meeting all required regulations. Excuse me.
And federal regulations.
And Mr. Kessler is always on top of those.
Yes, sir.
So, any questions for Mr. Kessler? Seeing none, and yeah, we'll move on. Thank you, Mr. Kessler. Craig.
You're welcome.
And how about dam storage creek releases? That's covered in that also?
Yes, I'll take care of that as well.
All right.
The lake elevation is currently 515.36 feet. The storage is 43,007 acre feet. Capacity is currently 87.4%. Current rainfall to date is 15.8. Current plant production is 5 MGD. Filtered turbidity range is 0.011 to 0.02. Terminal reservoir visibility is 14 feet. Downstream release to the creek is 3.2 million gallons a day. And state water, 2.1 million gallons a day.
All right, any questions for Mr. Kessler on those issues from anybody? Mr. Waggy.
Oh, yes, just given the storage right now at the lake, how would you see, assuming we don't get any more rainfall and we still have whatever runoff there's left, how would you see we would end up this year? As far as are we going to be okay for next year, or do we have problems, what does your crystal ball say?
Speculation is tough for me. I'd rather do a calculation based on, you know, what we've experienced this year. But I don't see any problems for next year. We had 16 inches of rain, so that was, 8 inches off the average. So,
but it looks like the lake is at normal levels at this time of the year. Is that correct, or a little bit above, maybe?
A little above.
Okay.
From the current years.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
If the low rainfall levels continue several years, then we're going to start getting concerned, I think.
Right.
But a couple of years out, I think we're in pretty good shape. All right, anything else for Mr. Kessler before we move on?
No.
Does that conclude your remarks,
yes,
Craig?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Seeing no questions? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
budget. Who do we have here? Oh.
If you look at your handout, the first graph represents the routine operations and maintenance. And as of the third quarter, we're under budget by 11% or $264,000. The majority of the savings comes from the reduced maintenance needs of the water treatment plant and distribution system. The second graph represents non-routine O&M. These costs are under budget by about 41% or $75,000. Much of the savings comes from the Lopez Water Rights, the HCP, which will be reflected in the fourth quarter of this year. The expenses that we had anticipated third quarter they would hit, but apparently it'll be the fourth quarter you'll see the expenses. The third graph represents the capital outlay, and we're under budget by 65% or $656,000. And those two those are because of the Rodriguez and the perimeter fencing, and those projects are scheduled to begin in fiscal year 12-13. So that's where we're at, the third quarter. So if you have any questions.
All right. Questions for Mrs. Brunig?
Are we going to talk about the Rodriguez Bridge project a little bit later?
Yes.
Yes, we will.
That's what I thought. So I'll ask my question about that later.
Okay. Is it a finance question?
Well, it seems like it's behind schedule. And I guess it was budgeted for more of the work to be done sooner, and I just wondered why that was.
Okay, well, I'll leave it to them.
Okay, we'll address that in the capital projects update.
Thanks.
Mr. Waggy.
A question on the HCP costs. And when those costs are spent, then are we going to be back to about normal on that, what we budgeted?
On the non-routine section?
Right.
Yes.
So that'll come out to roughly 100% when we're done.
Hopefully. It's been kind of historically, it's never really fully been 100%. There's usually refund, but pretty close.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes, okay. Ms. Molnar.
The 11% savings we have on routine operation and maintenance, can you give us a little bit more on that? I mean, what has not happened that might have happened?
For staff, and as I recall, things have gotten, they've gotten to understand the way the plant operates much better now, and they've solved a number of problems, and perhaps because of that, the total labor's down some. And Mr. Kessler could elaborate if I'm missing the boat on that. Only if you like.
The plant came on roughly about 5 years ago.
Sorry. And it was a learning curve for everybody. It was quite steep, going from, a little bit of equipment to millions of dollars worth of equipment. So everybody had a learning curve that they had to get through. Then we had some water quality issues, calcification really, plugging things up, creating lots of pressures on the pumps and strainers and on the filter racks, doing a lot of additional cleanings on the racks. So our maintenance was very high during that first year, and then dwindling down through the years as we become more familiar with the plant, the processes, and the equipment.
Okay. Then I have a question for the future budget. Are you budgeting at the same amount than you had for this year, or are you budgeting down?
I believe we increased it slightly, and that was due to I have my notes from last time. I don't have my budget notes with me, so hopefully I can answer that from my last quarter notes. That was increased by about 1%, the O&M, and that was because I believe we have some maintenance, and Craig can probably speak to this, some maintenance with the Tulies, is that what they're called?
The Tulie
at the terminal. So that caused it to increase slightly. But overall, we looked at other line items on O&M, and anything that we for example, I think stream gauges is probably one of the ones that we cut by maybe 50-60% because it wasn't being used. So we looked at, we didn't just, you know, straight line a lot of the line items. We looked at each line item pretty carefully and decreased a lot. But this tool caused it to increase just slightly. That's just 1%. It's like less than 1%. So.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for Ms. Brunick?
And Stetson Engineers, who's working on the water availability analysis, is also fully engaged in that activity. Partnering with them, we have some of our utility division staff bringing up some of the data from the dam and the downstream releases and updating all of our information so that we can use that to essentially update all of our models that we're using for the water availability analysis and whatnot. County staff's also working with state board staff to research the downstream water rights questions that are raised by the water availability analysis. So several angles working on the HCP. I did want to let you know that at your last meeting, as you recall, we discussed the issue or the concept of an HCP subcommittee, and you directed us to bring that to the TAC and see if they wanted to form a subcommittee, which they did. I believe the members are listed there in your staff report as to who's working on that. The subcommittee is engaged at this point, as you know, to look at the details of the HCP and make sure that what's been proposed by the consultants over the years is something that works for the district and for each and every agency that participates, and by extension also those who have a stake in what goes on in Rio Grande Creek. That one of the first things that the HCP subcommittee identified along with county staff is the proposed change in the downstream releases during the summer. We currently run something like 6 million gallons a day, and during a peak irrigation season, we'll bump that up to 7.5. The HCP models, under all scenarios for the driest summer months, put that at 3. So we identified that, verified it with the HCP subcommittee that it had the same concern that we did, and then recently met with 3 farmers, one of whom I recognize, to make sure that what we were seeing as a concern was the same concern that the farmers are seeing, and I can report that we're all on the same page. So now we're looking for more information from Stetson on their work and from county utilities staff on their work to be able to start looking closely at that summertime release and try to determine exactly how significant that issue is and then develop some solutions to it. Don't have a good read right at the moment as to what those solutions might be. We felt it would be prudent to get the information from Stetson before we start going down perhaps a lot of blind alleys or dead end areas of investigation. So we should have more numbers and information from that group on the water rights issue, which is a component of it, and then we can really get down to brass tacks and start talking about levels of impacts and water costs and dollar costs of
It's about the input of the data between 2004 and 2010. That's being done at this time, correct?
Yes.
Is there a time frame on when that will be accomplished?
I have a tickler on my email that I check on that every Monday, and it's a bit overdue in my opinion, but I need to check with the staff involved and find out what else they're engaged in as to why we don't have that fully completed.
And what staff are you referring to?
That's my fellow workers in our utilities division. Okay. We collect, as you can imagine, data, a great amount of data from the dam, but also from stream gauges, rain gauges, creek flow gauges, all kinds of stuff. And they take the electronic files and whatever form it's in and then put it into essentially spreadsheets that we then archive and can use for our different questions and things.
Is this dedicated staff to this project, or are they doing working on other items?
Well, like I say, they have a number of areas that they work in our monitoring areas. So.
Okay.
It may be that as we get a little bit longer in our wait, our priority also goes up.
Okay. And then on Section 2 of the work tests included for April, I don't recall, but what does SWRCB stand for?
That's the State Water Resources Control Board.
Okay.
And in our situation right now, it's the Division of Water Rights.
All right. And then in the last part under consultant work, is there a time frame for Stetson and H.T. Harvey? I mean, for what they're doing here in terms of their work on their respective contracts?
Yeah, as you recall, the H.T. Harvey contract has an 18-month schedule, but It has an asterisk on it in that their work tasks are only about a year long. It has a six-month hole in the middle, which is the flex built in to accommodate the results of the water availability analysis. Stetson contract is being overseen by our utilities division, and my understanding that they're about 2 to 3 months out from providing the information that's in their contract. That fits into the 18-month window that we have with H.T. Harvey. So we're still within the bounds of our schedule.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Waggie.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the report. Question on the water rights again. You said the Division of Water Rights is the one who is advising the county and the advising all of us on how the water rights are allocated. Could you elaborate on that?
The State Water Board, backing is a natural condition. At the same time, the State Water Board made a determination that the original water rights permit for the dam somehow or other didn't match the operation of the dam. I'm not an expert into that, but they indicated that the district needed to revise and update the water rights permit. They can't give us a water rights permit until we finish the environmental process, so essentially they're waiting for that to happen. I think, though, at the state level, there's some pressure on the staff to get some things done, so they've lately suggested maybe an interim approach and other ideas. And as part of that, and reassigning things to new staff, they determined that we did need to provide this water availability analysis. That's where you look downstream, compare what you're proposing to release into the creek to see if it actually meets the water rights that have been allocated to downstream users. You know, one might have thought that would have been a basic issue in the beginning, but, you know, the state, as they evolved, decided to elevate the importance of that, I should say. So we have Stetson looking at that. Turns out it's not as simple and straightforward as it might be. So Stetson's looking at the actual volumes and where on the creek the water might be as we release a certain amount. Would that flow historically be enough for a certain stream rights, streamside user? And we're talking about people with riparian rights who draw directly from the stream.
Right.
The other half of the water availability analysis is exactly who's filed for water rights and how much. Interestingly, it turns out that the records are kept by the State Water Resources Control Board, but they indicate they don't have the staff time to go through the paperwork. So our staff, electronically, is doing that work, looking through their records to find out who's filed what sort of water rights. All of that work is going on. I need to identify, though, that preliminarily it would appear that the amount of water where people have established a formal water rights is quite a bit less than what's being used by agriculture in the valley now. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody doesn't have rights, but there's just a difference in those numbers. Our perspective on it is that an HCP with a downstream release program that significantly affects farmers, water right or no right, is still an impact that needs to be avoided. So we are now essentially trying to take this HCP that was designed to balance fish and municipal uses and bring in the farm.
Apprised of any changes along the way?
Yeah, certainly. I think right now we're at a point where there's a lot more questions than there are answers. And what we're trying to do is very carefully develop the information that's going to be needed for all of us to come up with information that this board and the staff and the Board of Supervisors can use to make some critical decisions.
I guess I'm surprised that way back when, the beginning, if you will, the water rights issue was never quite settled. Is that what you're saying, or you don't really know?
When I look back at the various model runs and the different proposals for the downstream release program going back to 2004, I think, when it was first developed, and again, having inherited the projects and whatever else, it's one of those questions you have to ask is, why isn't this a key point in all of the modeling, in all of the goals? It just simply is not there. I'm not sure that maybe somebody early on didn't determine that the water rights, the volume for the water rights was substantially less than what the fish would need, so there could be a conjunctive use. There's some talk in the old paperwork about that. But it really needs to be looked at in a concise way at this point to make sure that those, shall we say, early assumptions are in fact correct.
Okay, so it sounds like you're addressing it, which is the main thing. You'll keep this board apprised, and it sounds like we have to hope that the needs of the farmers, the fish, and the municipal users will all have be in the same ballpark so we can get something through here.
It's down to the point now where we're actually talking the particular season of the year when we release water and that sort of stuff. I think the overall volume of water is adequate, but these things get right down to how much water in what month and who's using it and for what.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And that brings up a question there.
All right.
So do we have a current downstream release program now that we're going to be using?
We have something called an interim downstream release schedule.
Okay.
That your advisory board in the TAC developed with staff some years ago. It was designed to give us flexibility. Interestingly, it was designed to save water in the winter months when it was raining so that we could carry through the summer, although it has higher summer releases than the long-term proposal is. I guess the downside of it is we've had a dry year and we're at 87%, so it must be working. But
all right, thank you.
All right, more questions for Mr. Hutchinson. Brian, agricultural element. Are we still going to try to stand behind that original water budget?
Well, I think one of the thoughts, and again, I've been holding off asking Stetson to spend the money to run the models in and everything else, but for instance, one of the things that we might want to learn is how much water it would take during a peak irrigation day or peak irrigation week to bump up from 3 CFS to our traditional 7.5 to make sure we keep the farmers in water, and then take that same volume from the wintertime release that's proposed in the HCP, run that through the model and see what it looks like. See if there's any discernible impacts on the fish, see how much water we might be bypassing the farmers with and essentially wasting it as far as the model is concerned in the summer, and really take that downstream release model down to a little bit finer tuning. And then we have to work with the biologists if we're varying the flows by 100% in the summer as to whether there's any discernible impact that would run afoul of Fish and Wildlife or National Marine Fisheries perspective on things. I think that's probably where we'll start when we get the numbers, is to take some of that wintertime peak flow and shift it back into the summer. But we have to keep the conversation going with the farmers to see if it's even feasible to be able to make those predictions and be able to have that water there when they need it and not be running it past the pumps when they don't need it.
I guess the real question is, from a philosophical standpoint, is staff fairly determined to try to maintain that water budget?
You mean as far as the total volumes?
Right.
Living within the current?
Right.
Well, I understand there's some projects afoot that might, although they might have been conceived to deal with that, might be useful. So we have to bring the question of the increasing the reservoir elevation through gates on the spillway might turn out to be a mitigation for these kinds of things.
I guess I'm going to ask you to see if you can get a definitive answer out of maybe Pavel on that. On whether we're going to stick with that budget or we're going to ultimately end up losing water.
Well, you know, we'll have to run the model, and if the water's not there in the long term, lower than it was historically, what does that do to our long-term situation? Does the model properly respond to those situations? Because I think the agencies are going to want to know that, all of us, before we buy fully into any downstream release program.
Okay, then another question on a different point. And that is, if I heard you right, H.T. Harvey has started in their contract, and they have a year-and-a-half contract. Does that mean that we are looking towards about a year-and-a-half from now having an HCP ready to go as far as being able to be submitted?
Yes, despite having no idea that these were issues were going to come up when we said the 18-month schedule, I think we have to stick with the schedule. The project for a long time hasn't had any kind of goals or deadlines associated with it. And if we don't have something to work for, I'm just concerned that we're going to be back into that cycle again.
After submittal, then do we start the environmental process? Or is it running in parallel?
Some of it can run in parallel. I think on the federal, the NEPA side would be linear. We have a bit more work to do as to understanding exactly what National Marine Fisheries Service is going to require and how we're going to build that into our process. As you know, in 2004, the consultant prepared, in concert with that early draft HCP, what was called an environmental assessment and a NEPA document to submit. The agency has since, in all of these intervening years, changed their procedures. So they require a consultant to be hired. Not clear to me under contract to whom, but we know we have to pay for it. We also know that that whoever they decide to hire can't be the one that wrote the HCP and can't be the one that wrote our EIR. So we have a whole nother timeline to manage with that. I should say that on the list of presentations for your committee is a full discussion of the post-submittal process. What we're working through now is easy enough to take the HCP handbook and give you a flow chart and a table and estimated timelines. We're talking with H.T. Harvey about what the real numbers are and what really goes on in the process.
And did you have a timing on when that would come back to committee then?
I'm sorry, I didn't bring the schedule with me, but no. I think it's four or five presentations down the road.
Hmm. All right. Okay, thank you.
Our contracts with the Zone 3 agencies. So from the beginning, as they've been negotiating various different ways to release water for fish, the contracted amounts have always been untouchable. And we have to continue with that because although we'll have to go through an analysis with the agencies and document exactly why that is, it's clear to all of us here that is a bottom line that can't be crossed.
Okay, thank you.
That did raise up an issue that I'd been thinking about, and that is that from my perspective, I think it's kind of a given that we're going to have our contracted amounts of water. But what I'm worried about is the fact that we have enjoyed over the 30-plus years life of the project quite a lot of surplus water.
Yep.
And it's been a very financially beneficial benefit to us, and I'm concerned that we're going to lose that. So that's really what is on the block at this point, I think.
How would we lose our surplus water?
Well, it would get used to
downstream.
Run downstream.
Oh. So is the proposed downstream releases a lot different than what we're doing now? Or we're not doing anything much now?
I think in volumes it's, it's certainly more of a complex system. Total volumes, it does increase the downstream release. And I think we have it on our to-do list with the TAC to actually go through the exercise with the agencies of taking an urban water plan that everybody has and saying, okay, what if there is no surplus water? What does that mean to each agency? That's going to have to be an exercise we go through so that we know what kind of impacts we might have if a certain scenario plays out. I should say that in the downstream release program that Stetson prepared, they do not address the surplus water question directly. Although there is an interesting note where they're talking about water over the spillway, and there is a sort of a long-arm reach relationship there. They point out that the number of spills historically would have been the same number but lesser amounts. It might be possible to translate the data that generated that into answering the question of, okay, if there's still going to be surplus water, is it going to be less, and how much less?
Yeah, as though he's willing to do it. So, Mr. Dwayne Chisholm, Public Works Director, City of Pismo Beach.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly. Sorry, Dwayne.
Gather my thoughts. There was a recent meeting of the participants in the project to raise the dam, and it appears that from a preliminary point of view that there is additional long-term safe yield that would that could be applied. The factors of safety associated with the dam at any of the various levels of rise, it remains approximately the same, so it won't have any structural impact on the dam itself. So it appears that the project would be feasible to be able to at least pursue it and look at it from a point of view of cost versus benefit and see if the cost per acre foot is appropriate. It looks a lot more promising, I think, after our briefing a couple of weeks ago than it probably did 6 months ago. So that part is good. One other thing to consider, when you have a defined, essentially, pots of water associated with downstream releases for fish, agricultural water, and also for municipal water, there are provisions where you may not have as much surplus water as it's currently calculated, but there is a distinct possibility that you could have carryover water from one year to the next for unused entitlement if you can use other sources of water, since these are now much more defined quantities, and that in itself might help mitigate some of the surplus water issues.
Okay, thank you for that. And before Mr. Chisholm gets too far away, do you have any questions for him? Mr. Lott.
Well, actually, it goes back to Mark about it looks like raising the dam, you mentioned, might be part of the solution with the HCP. And it sounds like that's a possibility that we might have to, that if we could raise the dam, as Mr. Chisholm just mentioned, is looking more promising, that might help this whole HCP process.
Well, I think backing up, it might. And what that means is we need to look very closely at that, all the ramifications of that, pros and cons and benefits across the board, just to see how it fits in with the HCP, the timing of it, and all of those concepts. But how that might benefit the whole effort across the board.
And so is the raising the dam, is that included in the HCP analysis or proposed to be included?
It's not at this time, but it is rapidly coming up as an issue that we need to look at a staff level and a TAC level from a policy standpoint, and then perhaps bring it to the advisory committee if we have some good decisions to make and good direction to work on.
I guess the reason I'm raising it now is if it's going to be a factor in this whole HCP, then it seems prudent, at least for staff to consider, of course, including it now so we wouldn't have to go back and do it again. A similar process once if we got the HCP approved and then had to go back because if the dam was raised. It seemed like if it looks like we might be doing that, it'd be better to address it now rather than down the road.
Now, certainly from my perspective of trying to take on the HCP and pick up the pace and get it done, and then the possibility of raising the spillway comes into it, then my immediate interest is, all right, we need to decide whether it's in or out. And we need to make that decision sooner rather than later without rushing the decision, of course.
Okay. Well, quite a few carts and horses to manage. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Lucy.
Yeah, I just have a couple questions.
Mike. I think your mic's on. Press the button down at the bottom of the face.
High tech. How many years have we been talking about the spillway? On and off, on and off, on and off.
The spillway raise?
Yeah.
I don't know.
6, 7 years?
Two or three. There's
two or
a voice
three years?
Behind me.
Okay. I know at one time it was a concern for Oceana because we all don't have equal vested interests in this project. And so it would have to be, TAC would pan it out so it would be a fair process. In Oceana, we didn't quite see the advantage of, I think it was six feet actually. The spillway would come up, the walls would come up about like 6 feet or something like that. And so they are, it's back on the table now and it's being rehashed again.
I believe there's the group that's looking at the details of it.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks. And then my other question to you would be is with the multiple sources coming into the dam and, you know, having our allotted amount of water each entity, you see
as far as our work on the HCP, the Zone 3 contracts for water from Lopez.
Right.
Those contracted amounts have always been.
Yes.
You know, those
solid,
those are not on
rock
for discussion of reduction.
Right.
But what the state might or might not do is a different kettle of fish, so
right
to speak.
So I think we should keep that in mind that it may apply to what's controlled into this county, right? But outside the county, I don't know if we have complete control over their allocations to us. I'm never surprised when the state changes their mind. I just mark it on the calendar when they're going to change it.
I probably shouldn't comment about the state.
No, don't. I can't. I'm retired, so.
Ms. Molnar, did you have a question?
Actually, it's for Mr. Chisholm. I'm on the RAC also, and I know the IRWM is being updated. Are you going to try to include that in future projects to be considered for grant money?
That's a possibility that it could be. It certainly would provide a regional benefit, which is what the whatever the acronym is, that's what that plan is supposed to try and achieve.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
You know, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, in terms of how much water is being released and I guess where the agricultural community is, we're not asking for more water. It's more just a matter of when it's released. I mean, from our standpoint, we're pretty happy with the current operation of the dam, which has more limited releases in the wintertime and more release in the summer, which is our peak agricultural pumping period. So, you know, I realize there's a lot of other people that, you know, stake their claim to the water as well. But from the farmer's standpoint, we don't want more. We just want it released at the right time.
Okay, thank you for that. Ms. Ray, anything?
No, sir.
I forgot my question. All right, anybody else have a question before we move on? And seeing none, thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. Thank you, Mr. Chisholm. So,
containment facilities installed, so there are going to be some slot drains and piping that go to some storage tanks. And it's about $65,000, and it's going to start here fairly soon and just take a couple months to wrap up.
Where are the delivery points?
I don't know the exact points. Mr. Kessler, would you like to describe them, please?
Sure.
And how are the chemicals transported?
Tanker truck? So most of them come in by a semi, either in a tanker form or a flatbed. So as you come up our driveway and approach the facility, we have a road that just goes around, makes a circle around the plant. So if any tanker actually erupts or spills chemical on the ground, it could eventually get to places in our plant that have a culvert that go directly to the creek. So we need to capture that chemical before we have another incident.
So where are these three locations in the plant? I've been in the plant, so.
Okay, so as you heading out to the plant, you make that left into the gate, right? Come up to the top of the road there, right before the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
The road swings to the right. There'll be a slot drain that goes across there. And then as you're continue driving straight to the plant, there's another slot drain that comes there before the parking lot. So that's going to cover any drainage coming from the back side of the plant and this south side of the plant. On the east side of the plant, there's drainage that goes off to another culvert on the other side. So there'd be a slot drain covering that exit point.
Okay. And then did the accident occur during the pumping out from the tank?
No, it did not. That occurred from a faulty valve not closing properly and allowing a chemical to overflow a day tank and get into the drainage over to the sludge beds. Which
okay, so the problem wasn't with the delivery, it was in the containment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Craig, before you get too far on that issue, that spill that precipitated this project, are we still awaiting any decision from NMFS or any of the agencies with regard to a fine?
As far as I'm aware of, yeah, we're still waiting.
Okay, so there's still a shoe in the air. It hadn't hit ground yet.
Yeah, and that's probably well above me. I'll probably be the last one to hear about something. Sodium bisulfite, 38%, all in various quantities throughout the plant.
And these are all used to make sure the water is safe, clean?
Some for clean, some for treatment processes, cleaning the water, some for mechanical cleaning of the or chemical cleanings of the mechanical components, such as the filter racks.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on that issue before we move on to the next capital improvement item? Not seeing any. Okay.
Rodriguez Bridge, a project I've discussed at quite a few of the last few meetings, and one of these meetings I will be updating you that it has started construction, but that meeting is not tonight. As you know, it's been a challenge to get the permits, and at one point we were exploring emergency permits when we thought the dam was going to spill. When that didn't occur, we got back on track with just the normal permitting process, and the Army Corps of Engineers has been the one permit that we've been awaiting before we can proceed with going out the bid and ultimately starting construction. What I've provided for you tonight is a timeline dating back to December 2010 of our correspondence with the Army Corps of Engineers and our efforts in obtaining that permit. It appears like there could be a delay in receiving that permit that would push construction out to next year because we have a short construction window for working in the creek. We've received another email since this was developed, the timeline was development, that an assurance that they can provide the permit by June 4th. And if they do, that is ultimately the final drop-dead date for us to get the plans and specs out to bid and have enough time to do work in the creek this year. So that is the status of Rodriguez Bridge in the permitting process. If any of you have any questions, I'd be happy to do my best to answer them.
Okay, I do. So everything's ready to go. The plans are ready, the equipment, everything is there.
No, not equipment, because we'd go out to bid, but the plans are ready to go out to bid.
Okay, and what's the bidding process time?
I believe it would probably be a 4-week to 6-week bid period before we open bids and awarded a contract.
Okay, so then that would put us at when for construction? What's the time frame for the construction once it starts?
It's a short time frame. It's just a couple months, so we could accomplish it.
So what's the window? I know you have to be done by sometime in October, correct?
Is it October 1 or October 31, Mark? Can you help me out, please?
It's typically the end of October. Some of the agencies will do a mid-October with the potential for time extensions, which we are getting pretty good at doing.
All right, thank you.
Will the bridge be closed during construction?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I know that there is a construction staging area to the west of the bridge, and equipment will be down there operating under the bridge. So I don't anticipate a crane being on the bridge or swinging over the bridge. It sounds like all the work's going to take place underneath the bridge on that off-site staging area.
And the bridge is sound. It's just the underneath that with the pipeline, right?
The pipeline's probably 15 to 20 yards upstream of the bridge, and it's exposed, so it's just the rocks are going to protect that concrete encasement, and there's no improvements to the bridge necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Rocky.
I can recall when I was an alternate one of these meetings some time ago, and I guess we're still waiting for permits. So I guess is there some way, do we have a Is there some way to get a final answer from Army Corps of Engineers? It looks like they're now saying they could have it done within a day once the NIMS and Fish and Wildlife are done, but now they're saying it could be a lot longer than that.
Yeah, I believe it was mentioned at a couple of meetings ago that there's always the possibility of them receiving encouragement from our federal representation, but other than that, our efforts to get them to produce the necessary permit has been pretty thorough. We're just waiting for them to provide it to us.
I would suggest federal intervention. I think we need to pull out all the stops. I don't think we want to be in a position of biting our fingernails for another year to see if that pipeline's going to hold or not. I mean, exposed. If we lose the pipeline, what happens?
We've done the backup analysis of piping. There's a contingency plan in place should we lose the pipe, and we would be putting a pipe along the bridge, and it'd be a temporary pipe until we're able to get back in there. And
it's done if we can find a way to do it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a significant cost to the zone if we have to stand by for another winter with that temporary bridge.
Yeah.
I don't think it's there anymore, is it?
I don't know the status of the temporary bridge. It's a bridge, I believe, that we hold in inventory already.
Of course, I drive by there every day, but it was out there for a while in pieces ready to be put across, and I don't see it anymore. So I'm thinking that there would be a significant cost to re-prepare for an emergency action this winter.
My understanding, that bridge was in our road yard inventory, and we just mobilized and headed on site for the winter.
I believe you have to hire a contractor to take it out there and get it ready to be put in place. That's the issue. So there is a good reason to be pressing, I think.
Absolutely, I agree.
Well, then the question is, who would be our federal push?
Our congressional representative, Mrs. Capps, and then our
They
have a local office, and then our two senators.
Kevin McCarthy.
It's not Capps until
November.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I didn't realize that. That makes sense. Okay.
So who is it? Mr. McCarthy. Who is it then? McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we send him a little note?
Absolutely. I think that the contractors yourselves could send one as well as the county. I mean, the timing is such that I couldn't develop a letter that was signed by the advisory committee in time.
Why don't we do that?
I'd be interested to know if there's some risk of irritating the agency and slowing things down.
Joe, let me ask you. We still have what is his name, the gentleman, Tony's from down south who comes up. What is his name from NIMS?
Yeah, Mr. Anthony Spina.
Spina, right. I thought we had a good relationship with him. I thought he was pretty happy with us and our fish thing. And
well, he's with NIMS, and this is an Army Corps issue.
Isn't Army Corps waiting for the thumbs up from NIMS?
Yeah, let me jump in on that.
Okay.
Army Corps is waiting for what's called a biological opinion. It's a permit from National Marine Fisheries Service. The issue with NIMS at this point is that higher ups above Anthony not heard at all to ask, I think McCarthy's representative is still Mike Whiteford, to give Mike a call and ask him to just contact National Marine Fisheries and Army Corps and verify that they fully intend to meet that June 4th date so that we can be assured that we can go to bid.
And would it help if the other cities and districts that are vested send a letter of support saying, we strongly encourage you to move forward on this project?
Well, I think
we don't want to antagonize the situation.
I doubt very much that it would antagonize the agencies because I'm sure they get these kinds of calls all the time.
Okay.
And what we'll be giving them is the opportunity, since they have all the pieces in place, they just need the people to actually do the work, that is, do the review work and sign on the bottom line. Gives them an opportunity to actually make the congressman happy, which is a good thing. And it's not necessarily probably for a city council to get together and do a formal letter. If a representative from two or three cities contacts Mike Whiteford at whatever the appropriate level is via phone call and says, look, you know, the district's working on this, and we really needed you to make sure that the agencies meet those dates they've given us.
Could we perhaps ask staff to put together a suggested format for that communication?
Certainly. We can get something out to your members as to, you know, the right terms, biological opinion and nationwide permit and all of that business. I should say that the timing issue we face with this is with the Army Corps, and it occurred over a year ago, and that the application was made to the Corps. It's their responsibility, and they're the only ones who can do it, to initiate what's called formal consultation with both Fish and Wildlife and National Marine Fisheries in this case. And we were assured by the agency that they would accomplish that. And it takes upwards of 6 to 9 months to get through the process. So we let it go 4 or 5 months. We checked, and they said everything's fine. Then we saw a big winter coming, and we said, wait a minute, we need to pick this up. And the Corps, for reasons that haven't been explained, realized that they had, in fact, not initiated the consultations. So that part of the project sat on somebody's desk for something like 6 months. Once the agencies got the information, National Marine Fisheries and Fish and Wildlife Service, they haven't met their statutory timeframes. They never do, but the timeframe that they've been operating under has been on the fast side of typical schedules.
Maybe she should be contacted, too, since while the project may be in...
I was going to say, it never hurts for them to get calls from a couple of
people. While the project may be in McCarthy's district, the people, the end users are in Capps's district, pretty much.
That's an excellent point.
And also we have two senators, too, that could be helpful, perhaps. Thank you.
Okay. So what did we decide?
Just for point of information, I had a meeting with her about 6 weeks ago and had that conversation with her to put a bug in her ear, because she is going to be our rep. She's not right now, but she's going to be come November.
For this particular matter?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Mark, is if it is reasonably possible to calculate the additional cost, if we have to restage another winter, you might include that in the information.
I think we can check with Tom Trott and find out what it costs to haul things out there and back.
I could be wrong, but I think we'd have to restage that bridge.
I would say, though, that, as I recall, the staging of that bridge and the assembly and all of that is our road crews. There is a cost, but we don't have to go out to bid and whatnot.
I think Bob Baker told me that he did it.
Sometimes the road crews call Bob and say, haul this for me. Actually, our road crews have assembled it before. They've been trained, and they put it together and taken it apart. Wouldn't be bad to have a couple contractors know how all the pieces of the erector set work. But
okay, thank you for that. Any more questions for Mr. Hutchinson?
I just want to clarify, then, the to-do is to get an email out to the advisory committee with a synopsis of the problem and some environmental terminology and contact information for Mr. Whiteford and Greg Haas, who's the local staff person for Mrs. Capps. Okay.
And were we going to present these to our council? So we were going to try to just get a, because, you know, we're talking about a time frame here. We all don't meet. We only meet twice a month.
Yeah. You got agenda deadlines to meet.
Yeah, we're meeting Monday.
We meet Tuesday.
You meet Wednesday.
I can just send the letter. So go ahead and send it to me.
Private enterprise.
That's right.
I think each agency is going to have to work that out on their own.
Yeah.
All right, so anything else on that, Mr. Diodati? Anything else?
No, sir, that's it for capital project updates.
Questions for Mr. Diodati before we move on? Anything else? All right, how about action items? Anything we have on that one?
Just under 9. It's going to be the...
8, I think.
No, there are none under 8.
None. Okay, so then we need... Set the screen. Sorry, we're just finishing a five-minute break to reset the screen for the next item, which is the consideration of bylaws update, and Mr. Diodati.
Okay, thank you, and I have a PowerPoint presentation that will help me present this information to you because it's somewhat complex, and there's been some changes to the proposed changes to the bylaws that I'd like to walk you through. So what we're going to cover today is the current bylaws. I'm going to go over the proposed amendments to those bylaws. I'm going to review the Zone 3 and Noshimeno water delivery contracts, compare the authority of the Noshimeno Commission to the authority of Zone 3, provide ultimately the staff recommendation, and then allow you guys to deliberate and possibly take some action. So the Zone 3 bylaws were last revised in 1985, so it's definitely an appropriate time to take a look at them and make them relevant for 2012. And in January, your advisory committee formed a working group of two members that met and worked through email and phone calls to have some proposed changes to the bylaws. And some of those changes, when we got into the nitty-gritty, it was realized that they would require contract amendments to the water. Hopefully you got it in color. I tried to make sure it arrived to you in color so you could see the track changes that are proposed to the bylaws, and then a clean version of the staff recommendations and part of the working group's recommendations for the proposed amendments. But there are some of the more consequential changes that I wanted to discuss with the advisory committee tonight. And I have the table here that's in your agenda packet as well. And if anyone doesn't have this table, let me know, because it'll probably be easier for you to see it at the dais. But it looks like you all have it. So the first change of significance is the name. And it was proposed to change it to reflect the Noshimeno Commission and have the name change become the Zone 3 Advisory Commission. And that's one of the first proposed amendments that would actually require a contract amendment, because in the water delivery contracts, it calls for the creation of the advisory committee, not the Zone 3 Commission. So staff felt that it was appropriate not to go into a contract amendment just for a name change of the advisory committee. The second significant proposal is changing the authority of the advisory committee. The current bylaws provide for your authority is that of persuasion, and the working group proposed that it should change to leadership, advocacy, and guidance. And staff concurred with that recommendation and didn't see it affecting the water delivery contracts. Another proposed change was that the way the Noshimeno bylaws and contracts are developed is that if any sort of approval that the commission, Noshimeno Commission, makes that is altered or significantly changed or rejected by the Board of Supervisors, it automatically kicks off a public hearing. And the Board of Supervisors have to make findings why they are making those changes or denying the approval of the commission, and then hold a public hearing where it can be discussed and commission members can come down and in that sort of public forum have the debate regarding the whatever the decision is. And that would require contract amendments, because the water delivery contracts for your agencies say that the alter a decision made by or a recommendation made by the advisory committee. And we felt that if we didn't use the word approval, which is also in conflict with leadership, advocacy, and guidance, but used recommendation, we'd feel comfortable taking a proposed change to the Board of Supervisors for approval that did create that public hearing process and allowed that extra step for the advisory committee, and would mirror what happens in the Noshimeno Commission's process. And then the two other changes that aren't in conflict with the water delivery contracts and proposed by the working group would be defining four-year terms for the agriculture member and the at-large member. There aren't term limits, but just a four-year term. So every 4 years, it's revisited those two appointments, and they would alter. They would stagger at two-year intervals, and then instead of currently the process of voting for chair and vice chair, having chair and vice chair occur on a rotating basis. So those are the more significant changes that were proposed by the working group. So just so I can show you, I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, but I wanted to pull the language I was talking about from the water delivery contract so you could see the actual language. This is the Zone 3 contract that talks about the creation of the advisory committee, and it's for the purpose of advising the district. And the following items for advice and comment is what the advisory committee is created for. The Nashimeno delivery contracts create a commission that is to review and approve all substantive matters pertaining to the construction and operations of the Nashimeno facilities. However, it's then noted that the commission shall have no authority to contract, employ persons, or make expenditures. So while they have the authority to approve, it's very limited in what they can actually approve. And I went back and I looked at, well, let's talk about this real fast, I'm sorry. So the ability to review and approve all substantive matters pertaining to the construction and operations of the Nashimeno facilities, and then they have what they cannot do. And then again, if they do make an approval and the Board of Supervisors alter it, there's this process of the public hearing, which is lacking. And you recommend the board, the Director of Public Works makes the declaration. They make the declaration. The pricing of the surplus water, amendments to bylaws, and amendments to rules and procedures. So that's it. So they don't have authority to approve their budget, to enter in any sort of construction activity contracts, make amendments to those contracts. Still very similar to what the Zone 3 Advisory Committee does. So our recommendation is for your advisory committee to approve all of the changes with a few exceptions here. One is that the language that you'll see in the clean version is that the word, instead of approval, it's recommendation. So you're still providing a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. And if the Board of Supervisors alters or decides not to go with your recommendation, then a public hearing will be held. To keep the titles advisory committee, to also avoid contract amendments from that. I made a typo. CSA 10 is in the bylaws. It should be CSA 12, obviously. And then in section 2.3, where it says regarding the needs and desires of water contractors, residents, and property owners, we felt it was important to add agriculture as a impacted party in the Zone 3 area. So that's my presentation, and Ms. Lucy was part of the working group, so don't know if she wants to provide any additional comments, but be happy to have the discussion of how you feel about the proposals and work through them, and ultimately, if not this meeting, but another meeting, bring back, like we could do it tonight or at another meeting, bring back a clean version for approval that I'd take to the Board of Supervisors for final approval.
So, Mr. Diodati, with staff recommendation, we avoid a contract amendment?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Lucy.
Well, I think you spelled it out really nicely, you know, in comparing the two contracts and stuff. Tell me the depth of the contract that you mentioned that they had to, the contract had to be amended. Explain that a little bit more to me. The difference between, say, we call it a commission versus an interim title commission versus advisory committee was a hardship, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Well, it would be in conflict with the language in the delivery contracts. The contracts call for the creation of the Zone 3 advisory committee, not the Zone 3 commission.
So basically it would be going back and just going back to your bodies and saying, you have a representative on the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, they're changing the name to Commission. So it would basically be a resolution for each body, or
if it's just a title change, we could probably try to approach it in a side letter agreement from all the water contractors that they would like their committee to be called a commission, and it's just a recognition that we'll put commission on your information. But right. anything that changes one sentence or word in the contract would be a reopener for the contract, and then at that point, what else is negotiated? Everything becomes wide open. So we'd like to avoid that if possible.
Oh yeah, that was going to be my comment. Is it going to trigger all kinds of other issues?
Correct, it would.
And are the contracts aren't renewed regularly? They're just they were all signed how long ago? And
85, 2002 or 3, I think.
And do they have an expiration date, the contracts?
They were executed in 2000, and let me get to the term. Sounds like they're for the length of the outstanding bonds, which were refinanced, and I'm not familiar with the specifics on that, but that was probably for another 30-year term.
Oh.
So they're fairly long contracts.
Excluding Oceano. We didn't do it that way.
Correct.
That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So, and then I would like you to clarify the language change that you suggested.
Which one?
I'm a little confused about that when you talked approval. Where was that?
Persuasion to advocacy?
Yeah, well, you said it would not trigger contract amendment having to do with the Board of Supervisors.
The word recommendation,
yes,
versus approval.
Right. Why is that?
The body does. So we are not changing. The intent here isn't to change the level of the body. If you become an approving body, then you become a decision maker rather than a recommender, and that's the key.
Correct. So, and your language is advising, and a recommendation is the same as
advising.
Providing advice, where having the approval authorities not advising anymore.
Okay. Wasn't this part of the issue that was brought up a while back, saying that they felt that this commission, has not had enough stuff in it. I mean,
no, enough authority.
Yeah. Thinking of the right word there, and that's what triggered all of this.
That was partially, yes, what triggered all of it.
Okay. So, are we not, if we back off, are we not then losing sight of that original goal?
And that's what if the water contractors themselves wish to have more authority and provide that to their advisory committee, then that would start with each city in the community services district to take that initiative that they want to amend the water contracts. That is out of the scope of what I was providing for the bylaw update.
I just wonder if it'd be reasonable for each representative to go back to their respective agencies and ask, how important is it to change that word? Are you willing to go through a contract amendment to change that word? And if so, then that would be the course of action.
I would actually word it a little differently than a word. I would say is that the contract has not been reviewed for 12 years. And as bodies, I think it's probably time we did review the contracts. And I think that there'll be more than a word probably suggested as recommended changes. I mean, things do change over 12 years. Maybe not, the bridge, but things do change, and so maybe it's time for the contracts to be reviewed. 12 years is a long time. I know it's a lot of work, but
is there any kind of
we're not
gonna fear
get Rodriguez
that there's
fixed.
Something that's going to come up?
No, it's just that would need to be driven by your agencies,
and that's a considerable expenditure because now you're talking legal fees. we're not just talking about getting a commission together and agreeing to change a ward. If you're talking about, you're talking about contract negotiations here, and I'm not sure I'm ready to commit or ready to open up those. I mean, we don't have, that's a lot of money. We're not just talking
about the county and everybody else, but internally we're gonna look at that contract, because that is, it's an old contract in my eyes. And by the time your bond, you know, matures, you know, gosh, you'll be back to having a really, really old contract. So,
Mr. Diodati, looking at this third box down, where it says, where it has the word approved, if that word were changed to recommended, then we don't have a contract amendment problem with that item, right?
That's staff's perspective on this, that we would be able to take this to the Board of Supervisors.
But we're still able to ask the Board of Supervisors to have a public hearing if they don't approve something we recommend.
Correct, and that's written in the amended bylaws. It's identical from the Nascimento Commission, except approvals changed to recommendation.
You know, that's a new step, and that does give this body, in my opinion, much more authority than we've had
it's
before.
A good step, I think. Well, it's certainly a baby step in the right direction.
I guess I'm concerned that we've been trying to get some more authority for this body for some time, because it's our water, we're the water users, we're paying for it, and yet we are simply advisory. I think the effort here was to try to get some more authority over what's going on with the water, with the money we're spending. So I think it would be good for this body to go more with more authorities and include approval approved, and also look at the possibility of expenditures for contract too, because we're talking about some projects. And I guess I would ask if we could have Mr. Chisholm speak to the body too. I spoke to him earlier today about that issue, that there could be some advantages to having this body approve some expenditures in some cases, just for efficiency purposes. But I'm relying on our city engineer, Dwayne Chisholm, for that recommendation. So if it's okay with the chair, if you could address.
Yeah, good idea.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the advisory body.
Is your mic on?
Did I turn it off? I'm sorry. One of the projects that is currently underway, which is the dam raising project that was done by Zone 3, where certain members of the organization of Zone 3 actually financed and paid for that project.
So under, I can't hear you.
Under the works can do, either from a staff level or a workload level or some other measure. I could see, for example, we needed some assistance on the Rodriguez Bridge, which the county couldn't provide because of certain issues. If the Zone 3 advisory body or commission had the authority amongst themselves to be able to pony up the money that was necessary to move that project along, that would be something that I think could be a positive in the future. The other thing to remember is that in essence, while the county certainly owns the facility, it's their responsibility to operate the facility, they are essentially a pass-through agency. They are just passed through, they're passing the costs on through to the various providers, and it would appear that approval, as opposed to recommending the costs and other things that are associated with that, would seem to be more appropriate than being a recommending body. So from that point of view, I think it would be advantageous to go through the contract change process in order to reemphasize the importance of this organization in the decision-making process of, you know, how the project is. What's the budget for? What's the total budget for Zone 3?
$8 to $9 million, I believe.
So we got an $8 to $9 million investment that all of the ratepayers from your various organizations contribute, and they don't have any authority to approve or disapprove. And I think it would be a great step in the right direction to be able to do that, while ultimately the Board of Supervisors will have veto authority or be able to change things that move forward, but as long as the commission or the advisory committee works appropriately and you're essentially using, you know, making decisions based on your ratepayers and the impact on them, it would certainly provide a lot more accountability with regards to the budgetary process, the direction for where the as far as priorities of what's most important to move forward, your capital program and other types of things, where the advisory board commission
features, where it makes more sense for this body to do it than perhaps the county, some more flexibility, and also put the words approval and approved in there. We were talking about the contract changes. I don't think we want to make a lot of changes, but I think we could go ahead and make these changes with the idea that we could also add expenditures in there without a whole lot of extra work and get something that'll be more effective for the long term for our ratepayers, especially. That'd be my recommendation.
I want to be clear on what we'd be recommending if we approve this tonight, because I'm not so sure I'm ready to do this, only because I'm an alternate here. And that is, if we agree to do that, then what we're committing to is allowing other cities to open up these contracts. Is that correct?
So if we take,
I want to be sure that I'm not over committing something. That if we say yes to this, then I'm saying that it's okay for at this point for us to reopen those contracts.
If you included the words approved it with
right.
approval in there, we wouldn't take that to the Board of Supervisors for ultimate approval, because that's in conflict with the contracts and the bylaws wouldn't work.
No, I understand that. I understand so that. I'm saying if we I'm asking that if we say we want to strengthen this as our other members have said, and we vote to do that tonight, then essentially what we're voting to do is to reopen these contracts.
No, because you don't have that authority.
This would have to be approved unanimously by all the agencies. So whatever changes are envisioned would have to be unanimously approved. So it would just open a process to begin examining the contracts. And one thing we don't have tonight is a proposed language change of the contracts themselves.
Correct.
And so I'm thinking that before we go a lot further on this route, we probably would need to see what that would look like.
I guess I'd like to see the staff, county staff and some of the city staffs who's ever perhaps on one of the on the TAC or something could try to come up with some suggested language. I agree. I would not want to vote on this tonight in this form. We would have to go back to the county. I think our governing bodies need to weigh in on it. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd like to at least explore that option of moving in that direction and go back to our governing bodies and decide, make a pitch on the pros and cons, get some direction or get some advice from the various involved staffs, and then
be involved in that process.
Not unless it was a conflict.
Well, I'm just thinking that since your committee came up with these proposed changes to the bylaws, maybe integrating those into contract changes would be appropriate with your input.
That's fine. You can make that recommendation. Again, the concern of doing anything that's going to tie any of the cities or agencies into an obligation isn't going
to happen. The reason I'm suggesting that is I'm hearing that, I may be misinterpreting what I'm hearing, but what I think I'm hearing is that the committee would like to have approval authority on various things, such as perhaps budget and expenditures and being able to contract up to certain levels, but that the Board of Supervisors would ultimately have approval authority over an approval made by us on some of those items. And I'm not clear at all how that division would be.
It's going to be a complex review, because if you model it after the Nacimiento contracts, their voting's different than your committee's voting. They don't have a one member one vote. They vote based on their allocation of water. So a contractor that receives a significant amount of water receives a significant amount of votes. There are disparities in how much water is received amongst your agency, so that's there's going to be a lot of complexities in reevaluating the contracts for allowing for approval. It's not as simple as just the working group getting together and proposing a couple new sentences.
And just to be abundantly clear, our intent was never to change any individual's contracts. We were simply looking at language and strengthening language and the definition of that language. It was not, we didn't even consider each individual contract at all. And I don't think that any of us would be in support of even doing that. It's simply to give it a little bit more oomph.
Well, we're hearing from staff that certain language changes do cause a contractual issue. So maybe we should go forward with the language changes that do not cause a contractual issue at this point, and then think about how to move forward with the rest of it.
What if we just, I mean, staff's recommended, as Mr. Talley said, strengthening language. Mm-hmm. Why don't we could potentially accept all of the recommendations that staff has made tonight to move that baby step forward that you suggested, and then have this, the suggested language and other, yes, because we would want staff to make recommendations to continue to strengthen the body as much as we'd like to,
right.
But for right now, instead of tabling it, we can still take that, take staff's hard work and move the body forward.
Yeah, as long as it's an interim step, but I could certainly support it.
Now, I would feel comfortable doing the three that don't run the risk of changing contracts.
Oh, but aren't
can
we going
to put the two
staff
that
recommendations
say yes,
back up there? Because that's my motion would follow your...
The two that say yes, I would, due to running legal, risk, I would actually abstain from...
No, what I'm not suggesting that we do these changes. I'm suggesting that we do the changes that were presented on the slide.
Right, and that's what they are here. The first one is, go from advisory to commission, which was, yes, that would be a contract change. The second
you
one,
could clarify for
the way I understood the motion was there was going to be no changes that affected the contracts.
Correct.
Strictly so, the clean version of. You're in your agenda packet with the change to CSA 12 and adding agriculture.
Correct. With all the bullet points that are on the mm-hmm. screen at this
well,
time.
Well, and also changing that word to recommend
right.
from whatever it is now, advice or...
Well, in the Nashimeno, advice. No, approve.
Right.
Approve, yeah.
Right.
But, I mean... this is, to my way of thinking, a significant step forward because, under this scenario, if the Board of Supervisors doesn't approve, one of our recommendations, then they have to have a public hearing, which is not the case now.
Right. Yeah, you have, it enlarges the scope of your recommendation, definitely,
right.
than what currently exists.
Okay, so then on our chart here, so right here in the section 3, going down, we would still have this wording, but say any item recommended. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what's under mm-hmm. bullet number 1 up on the screen.
Well, I just as the board member who was sitting in this meeting, I have to say is that staff recommendation and board member recommendations are not always the same. Yes, we're all supposed to work in concert, but just so you're clear is that staff has their opinion. It's a benign body. It's a buzzword. It's burned out.
Well,
so,
to satisfy,
that's staff recommendations,
to,
not...
To satisfy your concern, Ms. Lucy, though, we could have staff prepare a... form of letter, which would be approved by the board and the councils to change the title of the committee to commission. That's a separate issue that could be easily
right.
accomplished.
And
if
I'm
I
understood
not, Mr. Diodati correctly.
And Sir Chair, I'm not hell-bent, in other words, on the word commission. What I would like to pull away from is
advisory.
Persuasion, I'm that's what I'm trying to pull away from. So if you want to find another term that isn't the same definition as Nacimiento's commission, You know, there are many, many thousands of commissions across this country, and I'm sure that we could find a commission definition that would fit our body.
But his point is that if you change the word at all relative to what's in the contracts, then, you know, and I think the consensus is we're investigating the idea of how we travel down that road in the future. But, you know, for now, there's a motion on the table, and maybe we should vote.
Yeah.
Wait, what is CSA 10 and 12?
Tens Cayucas, and I was doing some other work that day. And
County Service Area.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, CSA stands for County Service County Area.
County Service Area 12 is over in the Apple Beach.
Yeah.
That's Port what I knew. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for...
Wrong number.
And is CSA 12 still an at-large seat, or is it a permanent seat, or...?
It's, I believe, a permanent seat.
Okay, because that's going to be a little different as we get down, because... All of us have term limits. We're elected, except for our at-large seats. So they're not elected. They don't have four-year terms. I mean, we are here for 4 years if our boards choose to keep us here. But otherwise, some of us go up for election every 4 years. The at-large seats, the reason why I said do some type of term limit on the at-large is because they're not elected positions. So I'm wondering, is a CSA 12 an elected position? Does Avila Beach elect that, or is that an appointment, or
I believe it's appointed by the Board of Supervisors.
So that's...
I honestly don't know. It's okay. It's
so, but we can find that out,
membership should be
right?
at the pleasure of the agency or the group being represented and confirmed by the Board of Supervisors. So I don't even... Per the bylaws, your cities and agencies don't even have to vote for you to... Well, they would, because...
From my perspective, is allowed... Avila Beach and or Port San Luis to simply nominate someone that they appreciate and believe is qualified for the position to serve as their rep. And that's how Mr. Wallace got in that position.
Right. And all I was recommending is that those seats are treated the same as someone who's an elected person.
Well, I actually think it's helpful to have a term limit for these positions because, you know, on the agriculture side, it's hard to find somebody who's willing to do this. And it might be easier if it's if it's understood that it's only 4 years.
Well, rather than call it term limit, a reappointment period, maybe a reappointment or reconsideration, because the CSA 12 representative would not necessarily be an elected individual because...
Right.
This is not calling for a term limit. It's just specifying a term.
Yeah, right.
And so, there wouldn't be anything to preclude someone from serving unlimited terms.
Right.
Well, additionally, if a CSA 12 is BOS approved, then it would be subject to the same whims that we're all subject to as electeds, where when that turns over, there's potential for turnover. So it may be redundant to weigh in any more than just to say that it's a term of 4 years.
But what Miss Lucy's bringing up is somebody like me, I get appointed. I was appointed back in 1984 or something.
Right. Well, maybe
and thank goodness you've served that whole time.
Did you mean that you wanted to limit it to 4 years, or that you just wanted to be sure that
it
was
to be neutral across the board, just the same as the elected people?
But wasn't
we're
that the recommendation?
My understanding of Miss Lucy's recommendation was that every 4 years those appointments were revisited.
Right.
The member would most likely get reappointed, and they had no term limit.
Wasn't that in the?
That's in the proposed change.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah.
I guess the only point is, is it clear, are we giving clear direction to staff on how to look at the contract changes? Are you
and clear? I don't have that. Right now I simply have that these amendments, there's a motion to approve these amendments in a second. But as far as what the additional recommendation is,
I'd like to see us deal with this first and then discuss the next part of it.
So the staff would bring it back as an agenda item. We are asking them to bring it back to us.
That was my original motion.
Correct. I just want to get clarification on the direction to stay.
No, that was my original motion.
Then do we...
Let me be clear. Maybe I should restate my motion just to...
Additional considerations at a later date.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I think we've discussed this, unless somebody's got something else. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Looks like it's unanimous. One of the things that Mr. Diodati could bring back is perhaps some ideas from staff's perspective as to how this committee or commission would operate given the disparity in entitlements. As an example, Leroy Grandy has, I think, approximately 51%. And so we'd be reluctant to give Leroy Grandy a 51% vote.
But we'd be happy to take it if
I'm
you gave
sure.
it to us.
So those are, that's an example of some of the issues that could be.
Well, I really wonder.
Why do we have to follow that?
Well, but where that leaves agriculture, too. I mean, how
are your votes defined?
Right. Under that type of scenario. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'd have to be an alternative method of spreading the
perhaps
authority.
You could present two or three different scenarios for this board to take a look at.
And why couldn't we just leave it with each one of us has a vote?
That goes back to this, these are all contract negotiations. I'm not too sure we want to be negotiating such complex contracts at this dais, but I'll bring back some scenarios and pros and cons of amending the contracts. But at the end of the day, I think that those actual negotiations will happen with the contractors in the county and then be brought to your advisory committee for recommendation.
So do you think we strengthen it at all?
We did.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
You bet.
We did? How? In what way?
Recommendation.
Well, I mean, I remember unanimous votes of this committee that were turned down by the board without any further action.
So that would be avoided now, just with this wording here?
That's right.
Just because we changed it from approved to recommended, we don't have to?
No, because what this says is that if they overrule this body, then there's going to have to be a public hearing. And so that gives anyone here who has a strong opinion about an issue a forum to show up and state their case.
And we didn't have that before.
No.
But this wording doesn't, trigger contract amendment, but the other one did? I don't understand that.
You still are just an advisory committee.
Is it because we're still called an advisory committee?
No, because your contract delegates that authority to you of being.
It doesn't create the Zone 3 commission.
I get you. Okay.
Now, the board has to approve this.
Correct.
Right. All right. Does the staff anticipate any issues there?
No, we are planning on bringing the staff recommendation to adopt.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on that?
No.
I think we got it. All right. Future agenda items. Anybody have anything?
I was caught in the moment. Did you guys vote? Do we have a vote on this? Okay. Thank you.
Just making sure. That's the most dramatic part of this whole meeting, man.
We don't fool around here. We get it done.
I was writing when it happened.
It was unanimous.
It was.
Thank you.
Do you need the motion maker and all that? Or you
have
that. Okay.
Mr. Gearing, can I talk to you about the agenda for a moment?
Okay.
Okay. It doesn't excite me. I'm sorry.
I didn't write it, but go ahead.
I get it, and I just wait till the last second to look at it because it just doesn't. So.
Are you talking about format?
No, I can pass format, and I've gotten over typos in my life. But as far as current events that are happening in the county that. Where there's water, I just think that this body needs to be just key on all these issues. So I look at the agenda, and there's nothing really current besides that darn little Rodriguez bridge,
Than the Thoma vote.
So, but yeah, that's not on the agenda.
I know.
Too bad.
That's my point. I'm so glad I'm not alone here. Okay, and then also, too, is I read in the newspaper recently that there was some problems over in Price Canyon regarding water. That's not on the agenda. I'd love to see an update on what is happening in the North County because there really are counterparts to the South County. And then you have your RAC in the center. And who knows what they do, So I know
me,
they
I've
do a lot, and because I'm just shaking when I leave those meetings. But so I was thinking maybe if we could just have a down and dirty 3 minutes on what's RAC up to this week, and and then when something does happen in our area, like people ask me about Price Canyon, and And I'm sorry if Mr. Chisholm's phone's been ringing off the hook, but I don't know what to tell them, and I sit on and we're advised, and we have that info. No, I think if we take action on somebody else's item, yes, it's very arrogant of us, and we shouldn't do that, right? But I don't think that I've had people come in from all over the country and advise me on projects that are happening in their geographic areas, and that's just being advised. So I would like to have an update on what is happening in the Price Canyon area, you know, from Pismo Beach's point of view. I would like to have like a quick down and dirty what RAC is doing, because there's another water body out there, and the Mesa project. So just a few things, and I'm not saying they have to be discussion. They could just be points of interest, but at least we're, you know, we know what's going on.
Well, I understand what you're asking. I'm on the Housing Trust, and at the end of all the agenda items, each member talks about whatever is happening in their city.
Great.
And I suppose we could do that. You can just go down the line, and you can tell us what's happening in Oceano. You can tell us what's happening out there with the broccoli. I don't know. I mean,
I don't have broccoli. I can tell you Napa's, we're selling Napa for a lot.
There you go. is that what you're looking at?
That's fine.
Just some
That's
kind
fine.
Of update?
That's fine.
If it
I'm
pertains
new to, this,
to
isn't
water?
Isn't that item 11?
Yeah, because I don't attend RAC meetings, and I don't attend any of the other meetings that you're alluding to. And so if you want to pay me to go to all those meetings and then advise you every other month, I'd be happy to. But that Section 11 here is for
committee member
committee members who are part of other advisory groups or committees okay. or commissions to make those statements at that time.
Right.
And the Tri-Chamber is actually going to have a presentation on Spanish Oaks at their next luncheon next month. It'll be at Steamers.
Spanish Oaks?
Springs.
Spanish. Yeah. Oh, they called it.
Oh,
they
called
it Spanish Oaks, actually, on the flyer.
I live in Oceana, so
okay, I guess we're going to have to put that under 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to excite people too much or anything. You know.
Mr. Talley, anything?
No.
Ms. Ray?
No, sir.
I guess we're not sharing.
Anybody getting else? Close to my bedtime.
So. Anybody else?
Nope.
I got to add one thing I want to ask Mr. Chisholm. Since I was unable to attend the last NCMA meeting.
It might be appropriate at the next meeting to discuss, you know, some conclusions that they have come up with regards to the path that they're going to take with regards to that. I do know that the NCMA annual report is out, and there'll be presentations that are going to be presented. Pismo Beach got theirs, and I know Rio Grande and Grover are going to have theirs soon. So that's all I could say with regards to that.
So if I'm interpreting your feelings correctly, we can think about it next meeting whether we need to take it up.
Well, I think it's we need to give the Napomo Community Services some time and opportunity to decide, you know, what their next course of action might be and whether that'll affect you know, the NCMA, and which is really not Zone 3, but because it's certainly not going to have any effect on the Lopez project.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Then that raises a question. Is Lopez just limited to its current contractors? Does it have excess water to contract to anyone new?
We had that discussion a few meetings ago about banking with North County communities, CSA 23, Santa Margarita being one of them, where there was an opportunity to do some water banking with Pismo Beach would be the most appropriate agency, probably because of a state water Lopez relationship. And so that was discussed, where Pismo would receive an allocation of state water purchased by Santa Margarita, bank it behind Lopez Dam, and then during a drought situation, Santa Margarita would have the right to receive. At that time, we've been discussing 80 acre feet of water to help them get through the drought. So there is the ability for agencies to do additional things with their water.
What I was referring to actually is NAPOMO. I mean, aren't they required to get an alternate source of water? Could they contract with Lopez? That was really my question.
Oh, no. We don't have any fair entitlement water.
That's what I was asking, if there was. Okay.
And they don't want to go to the neighbors that do have spare water.
Yeah, if they had extra, we'd be not wanting to give that.
All right. I'm not hearing any new future agenda items so far. And if everybody's in agreement, we'll move on and get committee member comments. Anybody got anything? We'll start with...